Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
All right, let's bring in our good friend Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, who always gives incredible perspective. Sir, welcome back. It is great to have you with us.
Steve, always good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
This is another close one. Close ones, of course, bear a lot of examination. Do we see some of the same things crop up, or did anything new crop up in a close loss?
I think there were a lot of similar things that happened Saturday that have happened in losses. First and foremost, inability to run the football effectively. Second of all, and I don't mean to kill the defense because the defense has been terrific all year, but in three of these five losses, they allowed big plays late in the fourth quarter, meaning that big pass play at Iowa to the tight end, another pass to the tight end at Michigan, and of course the pass to Reed in the end zone on 4th and 15.
There
were missed tackles, but that happens in games. But I really lay this squarely on the offense, this loss, and really the other ones as well. Just because when you can't run the ball, you're very limited on what you can do. And that's why I agree with most of my colleagues on the beat that I think that Penn State needed to throw the ball more, even with the weather, because receivers were open, and that Michigan State pass defense is not good.
Yeah, I think they threw it, 34 times? Technically 38 because of the four sacks. And they were, 12 runs on first down, 13 passes, so 1-1 there, as a matter of fact. And they were 3-6 on third and less than 4 in the game, which, that's one where you need to just keep converting, you need to keep converting, keeping drives alive and keeping them off the field.
Yes, Steve. And honestly, I understand James Franklin's aim. Absolutely, big picture, you need to run the ball. You need to be balanced. But truth be told, this team's identity was established long ago with its inability to run the ball. And it's been most effective when a somewhat healthy Sean Clifford has been able to throw the ball. And you have one of the best receivers in the country in Jahan Dotson, and obviously he got open twice early. Made a sensational catch on the touchdown. In the fourth quarter, on 4th and 1, and then even on 2nd and 1 and 3rd and 1 after a 9-yard gain by Lee, you need to do what you do best, and that's throw the ball. And you put your strength against their weakness instead of your weakness against their strength.
Yeah, and I thought it was a day, to be honest with you, I thought Clifford threw the ball pretty well on Saturday. What did you think?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, I thought Sean played really well. And that play, somebody might say it's meaningless, but that play on the last scoring drive when he circled back into the end zone, running for his life to his left and completed the pass to Brenton Strange for a first down, was one of the greatest individual efforts on a play that I can remember.
It was phenomenal because he's in trouble. He should go down. He's rolling to his left, not his natural side. And in those conditions, he found the kid and was able to get to the 33-yard line, which is what they needed for a first round. It shows the no quit in him. And let's be honest about it. I don't think a lot of people realize Sean had 20 touchdown passes and only 6 interceptions this year. That's pretty darn good numbers.
Steve, I know, and I'm glad we're talking about him because I like Sean Clifford. He is not the most talented quarterback. I think he's a really good quarterback, but he gets everything that he has out of it. You know, he gives it his all. And there's no question about that. And I know you're a numbers guy. He has thrown one interception in his last 231 attempts. That's tremendous.
I mean, that is tremendous. And that's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for 3.5, you know, 3-1, 3.5-1, which is where he is now, or even as close as 4-1 as possible on touchdowns, interceptions. That's what he's doing. You know, the key is that early, the first half of the season, and I think this does go a little bit to him being banged up. First half of the season, he was effective as a runner, not so much in the second half of the season. And that includes even the last couple of games.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I thought, they ran him three times, I think. I could be wrong, on design plays in the first half. And I know two of them led to drives ending, and I didn't particularly care for those calls. But I do want to say this about Sean. That's one interception since he was injured at Iowa. That's an incredible number. I wanted to make sure that I got that across. Yeah, I think he threw the ball well, and as he said after the game, he goes, "Look, I'll throw it any time." He wasn't throwing anybody under the bus by saying that. He was just making a point. He said, "Look, I'll do what I'm asked to do, and I'll throw it whenever every time if they ask me to do it." And I still have to say that. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen more of that in the fourth quarter. I mean, obviously you saw it. He threw 11 times on the last drive when Penn State was down by 10 points.
Right.
Had to throw the ball. But, I mean, even before that, I would have liked to have seen him throw the ball more.
Yeah, no, it's one of those where going in, I thought maybe he might throw it 50. Only because of the matchup with Michigan State.
Yep.
But I'll
yep.
say this, yep. because of the interception by Hardy, good thing for Penn State.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And because of the Lovett fumble, Penn State only had 9 possessions in the game. Yeah. Michigan State had 12. And I think that's something that, you know, they didn't get as many possessions to run stuff either.
No, and they had that first drive in the third quarter, and it stalled. And then Michigan State, I mean, that includes the Hardy interception return for the touchdown.
Right.
It seemed like the Michigan State offense was on the field for about an hour. And I don't know what it was. I forget the exact time. You probably know this, but I know Penn State didn't get the ball back again until late in the third quarter.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, they only had 9 possessions in the game. That's because of the turnovers. In the end, the turnovers are what killed them in the game. Those two turnovers actually that was what really did Penn State in as the factors in the game.
Very, very big, and they both came in the fourth quarter. Very, very big, very large, and I mentioned that in my column in today's paper, but I forgot to mention it to you earlier. But they were monsters.
Matter.
Yeah. And Kevon Lee was met by two defenders on his fumble in the backfield. He has had issues. It was also his first game in the snow, you know, somebody from Florida. But, you know, I'm sure he'll say it's no excuse. He lost the ball. And then the fumble on the kickoff, when you still have a chance to make it a game, that really, really hurt.
Yeah, it really hurt a lot. And the other key part of the game to me was that it was not the first drive. You know, it's the first time Penn State's given up an opening drive touchdown this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was the second drive. And it went 99 yards on that drive.
Yeah.
You know, that was one where you sat back and went, ay, 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 really?
Yeah.
Against this defense?
Yeah, the defense, Stephen, I'm sure you and Jack touched on it. The defense, for some reason on Saturday, had trouble in third and long and fourth downs, and they couldn't get off the field, and that's an easy thing to say, but it just seemed like every time, not every time, obviously, because I think they were 9-for-18 on third down, but it just seemed like too many times the defense allowed a big play and a conversion for Michigan State. Now, again, Michigan State has a really good offense. I mean,
I'll tell you right now, Thorne's the unsung hero of that offense. Thorne's the unsung hero of that offense.
Yeah, he is. He did a really nice job, especially buying time. You know, using his feet, he did. You know, he impressed me a lot.
So where to from here? I mean, I'm talking about like I'm talking about big picture here. And obviously, there's a bowl game coming up, but like big picture. I mean, they've got a big signing day coming up. You know, the guys that they've got verbal are locked in with them, which is a real big plus. So you know, when you lose four all those games by a total of 21 points.
Yep.
Right, which means it's pretty down, pretty close to like a play each half. I mean, is this one of you like, whoa, or you sit back and go, okay, guys, let's figure out how we can find that play each half? Which is the better approach?
Right. Let me just say this, Steve, about, you know, I agree. It's very tricky. It's a very fine line to walk here. But those numbers, yeah, five losses by 21 points. You're right. It's like maybe not one play in Ohio at Ohio State, but the other game's one play difference. But Penn State's offense is 82nd in the country in scoring and 82nd in total offense. And that, based on James's track record, I would not be surprised if there's at least one change on the offensive side of the ball with the staff. I don't know who that is. I don't know anything. But just based on his track record, you know, Mike Yurcich came in with a lot of fanfare, and I'm not, you know, he had a rough go of it. He's had a rough go of it this year. Obviously, you know, it's unlikely that he would move on, and you know, because of his track record, it's very impressive. But I'm going to guess that James, this is not sitting well with James Franklin, the 7-5 record and the inability to run the football. And I'll be interested in see what happens in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, that'll be interesting as to one. Now these guys are all out recruiting, so I mean they're all there. I mean, you see the list of the places they're going right now. They're all out recruiting just to shore up what they have now, and then of course looking at 23. I do have to ask you about Michigan and Ohio State because Michigan finally got it done, and they took it to them. What did you think about that, and what does it mean in the conference that Michigan is in this spot?
I think let's just start with the game. Michigan beat up Ohio State physically.
Yes.
And you know, Michigan's offense is very different than it has been in previous years. And James Franklin mentioned this a few weeks ago. It's more like the offense Jim Harbaugh ran at Stanford, where it's power football, and he has the people, Harbaugh has the people to do it. And that was a dominant performance Saturday that I don't think anybody saw coming. So let me just say that, and they earned that. There was nothing fluky about it. That was okay. That was hats off to them. As for the conference, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world that Ohio State is not going to be in the Big Ten championship game, because I think it's good that it's two different teams, Michigan and Iowa, playing on Saturday. I think if Michigan wins, they'll obviously be in the college football playoff. If Iowa wins, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but it might mean that the Big Ten is locked out of the playoff. I think it's good for the conference. I do, because I mean, it's ridiculous that Ohio State's last loss to a Big Ten East team was 5 years ago at Beaver Stadium to Penn State. That's just an incredible run. Yeah,
it is an incredible run. Finally, Lincoln Riley was asked about the LSU job, and he definitively said, "I am not going to LSU." He was right. He is not going to LSU. I freely admit, him going to USC, that caught me off guard. I did not see that coming.
No, that surprised me when I first saw the news yesterday. It makes sense in that his path at USC to a conference championship and the college football playoff is not as crowded, and there aren't as many obstacles as there will be when Oklahoma moves to the Southeastern Conference. So I get it. It shows you also, Steve, it goes back to look at how many recruits at Oklahoma recruits have decommitted already in a matter of, what, 24 hours?
Yep.
It tells you a lot, and it does underscore the fact that recruiting is the lifeblood of college football, and that is something that I think too many Penn State fans forget, and that's what James Franklin does exceptionally well.
Exactly. One more point about that. What's to keep Caleb Williams from transferring to USC?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
No. I know. It's crazy. This is going to really set back Oklahoma, and I guess several of his assistant coaches have already gone out there with him, right?
So Alex Grinch, the defensive coordinator, has gone with him. So
yeah, and Bob Stoops is going to coach the Sooners in the bowl game, which, you know, good for him to step in there. But Joe Castiglione is a really good athletic director with an excellent reputation, but this has got to set them back for a little bit here.
Not only that, they're going into a conference that's much deeper.
Yeah,
this is going to have to be a. Yeah, I mean, this. There's a lot of dominoes on the SEC thing with Texas and Oklahoma, and everybody overreacted in the summer. They all overreacted. I never get panic. You got to use logic, and it's hurting. It's not. The SEC will be deeper in some ways, but all those, you know, half those teams are going to lose. And Lincoln Riley looked at it and said, I don't want to compete in it. And that tells you a lot.
No, and I can't blame him. I really can't. I mean, that's not nearly, let's put it this way. The Big 12 isn't nearly as strong as the Southeastern Conference. And not nearly as deep. You're right. And, you know, we don't even know how the divisions are going to split up. But it's obvious that he wanted no part of that. You're right, Steve. I think he made a good decision for himself and for his career. And,
yep.
Now I'll be interested to see who Oklahoma hires.
Rich, always a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Steve. Take care.